You know, so I salute you Torah Club leaders and congratulate you. Yes. And I also want to admit to you that I'm worried about you. And here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that sooner or later you are going to start tiring out. And students too, but especially leaders. I'm worried about attrition. I mean, I imagine that when our Torah Club leaders finish 2 years of Jesus, my rabbi, right? They might think, it's time for a little break, you know? It's time for a little break. I feel like I need a little break, right? I think that's a fair thing. But here's the deal. I don't mind if you get tired. I'm tired. Who isn't tired? Right? I mean, it's good to be tired. But we are not allowed to tire out. If salt loses its saltiness, what's it good for? Absolutely nothing. What do you think Hashem is giving you breath every day for, right? So that's why I'm here right now. This is a commercial break to pitch this fall's Torah Club and to try to get you excited about it. Because if you aren't excited about it, then your students won't be excited about it. And if you and your students aren't excited about it, it's not going to grow and thrive. Rabbi Eisner already did this. He did all the heavy lifting, as usual, last night. And he announced what we're doing. I want to explain why behind that a little bit. Instead of utilizing one of our already existing commentary sets for our study materials this fall, we are creating, with God's help, God willing, we plan on creating all new material under this title, The Beginning of Wisdom. I say plan to because even though you have a sample workbook of the new material sitting right in front of you on the table right in front of you, and that's yours, take it home, the rest of the material is not yet written, not one word of it beyond what you have in this workbook. Right, so what this sample workbook represents, it represents, it's like a promise of what is to come. Yeah? It represents a trajectory, a certain trajectory and an objective for the material. But this is all that exists so far. And so we're doing this under the theory of we can do all things through the one who strengthens us, right? You agree? Yes, you agree with that. So we all agree we can do all things through the Messiah who strengthens us. And in that case, there's no tiring out. There's no burnout. We don't know what burnout means because it's not about us. It was never about us and it's not about how we feel. It's about the kingdom of our master. So here's the vision behind this title. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's a deep thought, but not just a deep thought. That's one of the fundamental rules of spiritual life. But what does this mean? If we can't explain the basic fundamental concept of the fear of the Lord, that implies we don't even have the beginning of wisdom. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then the absence of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of folly. The secular world operates, for the most part, without fear of God. It's beset with folly, as it says in Psalms. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's the opposite of the fear of the Lord. There is no God. But unfortunately, it's not just the secular world that's been trading in folly. I'm not sure if believers today actually do have a much better grasp on the fear of the Lord within our churches and within our assemblies and even within our messianic synagogues. Cheap grace and a confused gospel message have cheapened the concept of the fear of the Lord, even stripped away the concept of the fear of the Lord, and folly seems to be more often the rule than the exception. So this fall, the new Torah Club is going to, you know, we're going to remedy that, God willing, huh? The beginning of wisdom, we're going to study the Torah portions with reference to the Bible's wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, Song of Songs, and we're going to reach into the wisdom of Solomon from the intertestamental literature, and of course, the New Testament. And these lessons will emphasize this quest for wisdom, for a meaningful life, and specifically for the presence of God and the awareness of the presence of God and spiritual growth. So let me explain this direction just a little bit and what's going on here and what our thinking is. Those of you who led Torah Club before we launched on the Jesus My Rabbi two-year Chronicles of the Messiah path, you might remember how unhappy a lot of students were with the material we presented in Shadows of the Messiah. It was sort of a big deal. We lost a lot of traction with Shadows of the Messiah. There were a lot of people who bailed that year. It was like, and that was a surprise to me. It was a Malchut conference that overwhelmingly voted for this Shadows of the Messiah, right? And this was a year-long Bible study dedicated to finding Yeshua in the Torah. That seems so great. I thought, you know, people are going to love this. People are going to love it. It's going to be the most popular Bible study we've ever offered, but a surprising number of people were turned off by this material. And I think it's because they had never before really engaged with Jewish perspectives on the Messiah. You know, that was just never even, and it threatened all of their conventional assumptions. And, you know, there's nothing much we can do about that. That is what it is. I mean, that's what our whole ministry is about, presenting the Jewish Jesus. So if it turns out you don't like the Jewish Jesus, you know, you're not going to like our stuff. There's not much we can do about that. But as I reflected on this problem, I realized that it betrayed a deeper problem in all of the existing Torah Club material. It's not just that it's rocking theological boats, which it does, but the problem is, to some degree anyway, a problem is the way the material is written. There is sometimes a mismatch between the intended audience, the intended reader, and the actual reader. So I wrote the existing Torah Club materials as you have them from a certain perspective with a particular message targeted for a specific audience. The perspective was my perspective. Which was really based on a messianic reading of the Bible informed by Judaism with the assumption that the New Testament is 100% Jewish material. So in short, it's written from the perspective of messianic Judaism, specifically post-missionary messianic Judaism. With the exception of that introductory track, Unrolling the Scroll, the intended audience was people within that circle, messianic Jewish circles, whether Jews or Gentiles, primarily people involved in the messianic Jewish movement in some way or form. So the intended reader is the person, you know, the person I'm writing to is someone already on board with the basics of messianic Jewish teaching, someone with a basic Jewish literacy, okay? So the agenda then behind most of these commentaries and they're commentaries, they're Bible commentaries. The agenda is a polemical argument with Christianity on the one hand and Judaism on the other hand. That is the underlying agenda going on there. We've always got our dukes up because we're fighting a battle on two fronts in the ministry. The material is kind of locked into this invisible argument. It's kind of like reading Paul. He's always locked in an argument, right? We're always locked in an argument, and everything has to be understood through this argument with Judaism on the one hand, as we're laboring to prove that Jesus is Jewish, he did not cancel the Torah, and that Judaism and Jesus are not incompatible, not at all incompatible. That's one argument. And then on the other side, we want to remove, we're locked into a not so invisible argument with the church to prove that, again, Jesus did not cancel Judaism and that the church does not replace the Jewish people. So the Torah Club material is working this way, it's working that way, to make this case, to make these two cases, and to prove that Judaism and Jesus are not incompatible. In fact, they're inseparable. So with this message, we're trying to dismantle replacement theology, as you know. It's a message intended to challenge supersessionism and to prepare the theological groundwork for the coming day when all of Israel will welcome King Yeshua. This is really what I'm thinking. This is really the thinking in the back of my head, that all of a sudden, sometime in the near future, there are going to be millions of Jewish people who are suddenly surprised that they are all Messianic Jews. Right? And with that transformation, they're going to have questions. There's going to be a lot of questions. And so the Torah Club commentaries are anticipating that and trying to answer those questions before we get to that moment in time. All right, that's kind of the perspective, that the existing commentaries are intended to remove these Jewish objections to Jesus and at the same time to counter Christian objections to Judaism and Jewish identity. That's the secret sauce that's going on inside the Torah Club. They've laid the foundation and made the existential arguments for Messianic Judaism and a post-supersessionist worldview. But here's the problem. Torah Club has really grown. And it's grown outside of those circles, of those Messianic Jewish circles. So let's say, just hypothetically, say that you're not part of one of those intended audiences, meaning that you're not a Gentile from Messianic Jewish circles or you're not a Messianic Jew. And you don't really understand any of those objectives I just laid out of proving the compatibility of Judaism and Jesus, and that thought has never actually occurred to you in any shape or form, and probably never will, and so you're completely baffled by this whole study, and so you're always going to be asking a couple questions. You're going to be saying, "Why are you always quoting the rabbis? It would make no sense." Or, "Why are we talking about the Talmud?" You'd be like, "I don't get it. Why is that even there?" And most people don't understand that objective. They don't understand what's going on here. And they don't, of course, they don't even possess a basic Jewish literacy, which would help them make sense of what they're reading, right? So every time they read words like Pirkei Avot and Rashi and Rambam and Ramban and Gemari and Gematria and Midrash and Mishnah, Mitzvah, Maimonides, Nachmanides, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Zalman, Rabbi Schneerson, Saida Gaon, Vilna Gaon, Targum, Tosafta, Tosafot, Zohar, you know. Right? You know what I'm talking about. They don't. They check out. It's like, woo, right? This explains why a lot of our leaders wanted unrolling the scroll back. It's simpler commentary that was actually targeted towards a broader audience who need. You know, who are just beginning. It's like, what do we call it? First rung of the ladder, first rung resource. So last summer, Boaz and Amber went on this epic road trip and meeting with all of our friends and Torah Club leaders, and the feedback that they most consistently heard regarding Torah Club was, you know, people are loving it, but the leaders want unrolling the scroll back, at least as an option, as an introductory track option. We tried that 1 year, running two tracks. And we found it hopelessly complex, fraught with difficulties. The two tracks spread our staff too thin and created confusion on the promotion side. Just from trying to even explain, because you have such an uphill battle to even explain what the Bible study is. And then it's like, and there's two, you know, it's like, it's this or it's that. It's very confusing. And then on the leadership side, which one are you doing? You know, it's like, and then the student side, you don't know what you're signing up for. And then on the club finder, to sort that out, and club, I want to find a club. Oh, which one is that? You know, there's all sorts of complexities that come with that. The registration process. Anyway, it just didn't work. It did not work well. But if this has been a problem for us in the past, how much more so going forward when we expect that the vast majority of people joining us in the Torah Club are not going to be from Messianic synagogues. And they are not going to be Jews or Messianic Jews or Messianic Gentiles, if you will. And they will have no notion about what we're talking about Judaism, about Jewish literacy, or the eschatological reconciliation of Jesus and the Jewish nation and how that needs to be worked out on paper. Suffice to say, the audience is changing. And we need to accommodate that. I'm not saying we won't continue to fight those battles, and I'm not saying that we won't continue to utilize the existing commentary sets. I'd love to see a Torah Club tackle the Haftarah portions some year. And I would love to see, that's really written to reconcile the synagogue lectionary with Messianic Jewish faith. But the way forward is it's got to be broader. We have to have a broader voice and a broader vision with a broader audience. You might have been one of those that was writing to us saying, you're hoping we'll follow up with the exciting sequel to Jesus, My Rabbi, which is Chronicles of the Apostles. You know, and if I get my way, we will do that someday. But Boaz rightly pointed out that after 2 years of doing the Gospels, we would lose the right to call it Torah Club if we didn't get back to studying the Parsha, right? You know, so I kind of think of it like as if we've laid the foundations and now it's time to build the house. This new material, I hope, represents progress in the direction of building this house. And what is this house that we're building? It's like what we've been talking about here. It's the vision of the coming kingdom, the final redemption, the message of a personal and global transformation through relationship with Yeshua that goes with that vision. It's this gospel message we've been talking about. I believe that Messianic Jewish teaching has the answer to everything. I mean, everything. Life, the universe, everything. I really do. I'm not kidding. Because it's Torah teaching. It's the key to unlocking the Bible, both the Tanakh and the New Testament. And the Bible is God's book. And Messianic Jewish teaching has the goods on just about any subject you can imagine. People just don't know that yet. But when they find out, they're going to be excited about that. The potential is enormous. And I think that people are starving for what we have. They are starving while we have this spiritual feast in the scriptures. And, we are like those lepers outside the gates of Samaria, feasting in the abandoned camps of the Assyrians, while everyone else is inside the city is starving. And they look at each other and they say, brothers, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news. We have good news to share. We have this continual feast in the person of Messiah, in communion with Israel and continuity with the Jewish family. In the land, the people, the scriptures of Israel, we've got the solutions to theological problems that have twisted up the church for centuries. We've got solutions to New Testament eschatology. It turns out it was all Jewish eschatology. Problem solved. And thanks to a Jewish reading of the Bible, we have the goods on spirituality, the journey of the soul, the meaning of life, stuff that philosophers can only speculate about. We have so much to offer to the world. And best of all, we have the clear vision of Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah and the hope of the nations, a clear view of his teaching and his message about the kingdom. This stuff is the treasure buried in the field, which a man stumbles upon and sells all he has to go and buy the field, so the treasure will be his. This stuff is the pearl of great value, which a man finding it goes and sells all that he has to purchase it. This is the word of the kingdom. A Jewish interpretation of Yeshua's message and teachings of the apostles emphasizes personal responsibility, repentance, and the fear of the Lord. And that is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is something, it's a commodity lost on the world today. It's absent from the secular world, obviously, but it's also desperately needed by our brothers and sisters in the broader body of Messiah in the church today. But you know what? In the Torah, we've got bucket loads of it. We've got it in a clear presentation of the words of our master, understood from their native perspective. As Simon Peter said, he says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And the master said to him, "And to you I'm giving the keys to the kingdom." That's the thing. We got those keys. So we need to, this is a day of good news. We need to make this wisdom accessible. And if there's anything we can do to remove a few impediments that are keeping people away, let's do that, for crying out loud. So what does this mean for you as Torah Club leaders? Unfortunately, it does not mean that the material will be less controversial. It does not. I'm sorry. We're just not interested in blunting our message or softening it at all, because time is too short. Life is too short for that. But it does mean that the new material for this fall should be more accessible to your students. It should require less of a steep learning curve. It should feel a little bit less foreign in the jargon. We want this to be a growth year. You know, we kind of missed our growth year. Jesus, My Rabbi should have been our big growth year. But guess what happened? Right. There was a worldwide pandemic where people said you should not be gathering in small groups in people's homes. It wasn't the best growth year. We want this to be a growth year. I don't know if it will be or not. That's in God's hands. That's up to God. But for our part, we're going to do everything we can to make the material as welcoming to your new students and to reach it so that you can feel confident reaching out to your Christian friends and neighbors who want to study the Bible but aren't interested in being dropped into the ocean of Jewish literature without a life preserver. And so my theory is they are more likely to feel comfortable with commentary on the Torah brought from Proverbs than they are with commentary from rabbinic sources, even if the rabbinic commentary is still actually informing the material that appears in the lessons. We will still be citing the sages and utilizing rabbinic sources, of course, because it's still Messianic Jewish commentary on the Torah, and that's what we do. But we aren't, we're not going to try to hide that. But less is usually more, because too much just becomes unnecessary clutter. So a lot of the changes that you will see do not reflect any change in the type of content as much as it will be in the packaging and presentation of the ideas, is what I'm saying. The material is still coming from the same deep wells of Jewish sources, but it's getting reskinned with the hope that it might reach a little further and accomplish more for our master and his kingdom. Finally, the material should, God willing, feel as if it has a more obvious practical application to the daily life of your club members. The existing commentaries are exactly that, commentaries. They are Bible commentaries with an academic kind of progression and edge. And Bible commentaries just do not necessarily translate well into Bible studies. And so we've learned that the Torah Club group format requires something of a more devotional, something more devotional and practical than a passage by passage explanation. So the beginning of wisdom is still going to have plenty of in-depth learning, and I'm glad you have the sample here. You'll take it home and you'll read it and you'll see that we're not shorting you in that regard. But we are going to work harder at making sure each week's lesson has some practical takeaways and applications. As Dwight Pryor often said, we study to learn and we learn to do. So we're not just building castles in the air. Our job is to build the tabernacle here on earth and to bring God's presence into this world, into our daily lives and the lives of those around us. And that's what Torah study should be helping us accomplish. And if it's not, if it's just all in the head, we're missing the point. So inside this booklet on your table, you'll find a mixture of new spiritual insights, messianic ideas, practical pastoral type application from the Torah portion, making the material more accessible than it has been without sacrificing the depth. And this sample lesson you'll find is on our weekly Parsha. This is on this week's Parsha, so you can use it right away. Where the tabernacle is illustrating the relationship between God's Spirit entering this world through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and its expression in human creativity, especially as it manifests in the Messiah in whom the Spirit dwelt without measure. And so it's some deep stuff. These are deep waters. But it's presented in simple language with a minimum clutter from rabbinic sources. You'll read it yourself. Read it yourself and you'll get the tone and the flavor and understand the direction. So we're giving you homework. Take this home, this homework, okay? But when you do, when you read it, do me a favor. Do us a favor and give us your honest feedback. Honest feedback, but only if it's positive. All right? So we don't need that negativity. Let us know what you think of the material. I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll see the value of this approach and you'll get excited for another year of the club. And as I said, it doesn't actually exist yet. So that's a matter for prayer. The plan is to start work on it in March. So there's no time here for a little break. All of us have a few short years left, right? We need to make the most of the time that remains. There will be plenty of time for taking a little break when we lay these weary bodies down and our undying spirits enter the reward of our Master in the world of souls to await the shofar of the resurrection. So for now, it's okay to feel a little tired. It's good to be tired. We aren't allowed to tire out. If salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything. Our Master says, we must keep working as long as it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. So may God establish the work of our hands.